step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, good morning. It's so good that you're with us, and we're glad that you're here. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to Joshua 23. The title of my message today is Final Instructions. Final Instructions. You know, from early in our life, really instructions are just a everyday, normal aspect of our life. We really live much of our life following instructions. Here at our school, we teach instructions every day to our students. From a preschool age, we teach our students, right, the importance of following instructions and getting in a straight line and walking in a straight line, walking behind one another, all the way to our high school students, what, following the instructions by the instructor to for that paper, the MLA guidelines that they need to follow, and making sure they follow instructions of what they're required for each project or for each paper. So we follow instructions up through our life as children and teenagers and young adults in college, but we follow that in our workplaces, right? Your supervisor will send you an email and say, hey, I really want you to help me on this project, and here's the things that I expect of you, here's what I want for you, and we, in order to have success in our jobs, we follow the instructions of our employer. We follow instructions at home, right? Husbands, your wife, you leave that little note on that counter. It says a little honey to-do list, right? And it's just a few little things that she would like to have done around the house, right? And we, if we're smart, right, we follow our instructions. Amen, men? Amen, right? And then husbands, you know, our typical instructions for our wives are, hey, if you go to the grocery store, you pick me up, and then we tell the little Debbie cakes that we want, right? That's our instructions. But it's important for us to follow instructions in our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes. We even leave instructions at the end of our life, right? Our families and many of you have even produced or made a will, right? And the will is instructions for your family members to follow your wishes after you are gone. Instructions are important. Instructions are important that we give those. It's important that we follow instructions. Contrary to Karl Marx, many of y'all know who that is. He believes that last words or last instructions were not important. And this is what he told his housekeeper as she was waiting in his last moments for his last words. He said to her, last words are for fools who have not said enough. But contrary to what Mark says, words matter. And not only do words matter, instructions matter. And our last instructions really do matter, don't they? They matter to us as we may say, give our last words to our loved ones or even leave a will to give our last instructions to our loved ones. It matters. Not only do it matter to us, it really mattered to the Lord. It mattered in Scripture. We see all through Scripture in examples like Jacob, who gave final instructions to his family. We see that same thing with Moses giving instructions to Joshua and the people of Israel. We see David, the king, the greatest king of Israel, who gave instructions to his family and other leaders. But you know, in John, the Gospel of John, the writer of John leaves 5 chapters dedicated just to the last instructions of our Lord and Savior. See, instructions matter. Final instructions matter. As we come to Joshua chapter 23, we come to Joshua's last instructions. Joshua has faithfully led this country Israel into the promised land. And now he is, Scripture describes, as we're going to look in just a moment, he's preparing for his last moments. He's preparing to lead them one final time. And he leaves them some last instructions that they are to receive and they are to follow. I think the beauty of Joshua chapter 23 is that these instructions that Joshua is giving to the people of Israel and to the leaders here is instructions that Joshua received. It was instructions that Joshua received from Moses, his mentor. It was instructions that Joshua received from the Lord. It was instructions that Joshua followed. And as a result, seen great blessings from the Lord. And so in his final address, his final remarks, and his final instructions, Joshua leaves these leaders. And here's the imagery of this passage you need to see. Joshua calls the 12 tribes, the leaders of all 12 tribes. So he passes these instructions to the leader of tribes who are then expected that they would pass it on to their tribes, to their families, to their children, and to future generations. Joshua wants to leave instructions for the people, and I believe he leaves instructions for us today. So I pray today that we'll look at these instructions that Joshua gave, and we'll examine how are we following God's instructions for our life. Will you stand with me and let's read God's word together? It's Joshua 23. We're going to start in verse 1, and we'll read all the way through the chapter. So hang on with me. After a long time after, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all of Israel and its elders and its heads, its judges and officials, officers. And he said to them, "I am now old and well advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all the nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who's fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain along with all the nations that have already cut off, from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive out of your sight, and you shall possess the land just as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you and make mention of their names, of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done this day, for the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. As for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he's promised. Be very strong, therefore, love the Lord your God. For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations among you, and you make marriages with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, you know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they will be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. And now I'm about to go the way of the earth, and you know in your hearts and your souls, all of you, not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God has promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one has failed. But just as the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all evil things until he has destroyed you from off from this good land that the Lord your God has given you. If you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land that he has given to you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for the time that you give us to read your word, to digest it today. Lord, I pray as we gather together, Lord, we really long to hear you speak today, that it would be you that would open up our hearts, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would move in us. So God, I pray today for a movement of your spirit in this place. Lord, I pray today for a reception from the hearts of your people who would be receptive to open up their hearts and their mind to what your word has to say to them. So, Lord, we call upon you. May you meet us here, God, and may you speak, and may we listen today, Father. Lord, you know the things that I've prepared. You know my need for you today, Father. So, God, I pray that you would give me words to say, and you would give the listeners here today ears to hear. So, Lord, lead us through your word, we pray. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, four instructions today, four instructions by Joshua as he gives his last words. You see him say several times in this passage, as I'm about to go the way of the earth. That is the imagery there. I'm about to die. These are my last moments. And here are my final words. He kind of starts out with the spirit of thanksgiving. This is a beautiful passage of scripture. But it's a pretty long passage, so I'm going to try to go through the overview at the very beginning. He kind of goes over an overview of what the Lord has done. It's the spirit of thanksgiving as we prepare for Thanksgiving. He's thankful for what God has done. It has been about, as you come to this chapter, it's been 20 to 30 years since Joshua has been in the promised land. And in that 20 to 30 years, they have conquered the promised land. They have crossed over from the wilderness. They have crossed over the Jordan. They have won battles. They have conquered lands. They have Joshua would remind them that not only God has given you the land, and he's given the imagery, one of you, right, battles against 1,000 and you overcome. Why? Because it was God who fought for you, right? He reminds them of the victory that God gave them in war to overcome the land. And then he reminds them of how God not only gave them victory of the land, but God gave them places to live. He talks about the allotments of land. Not only did God give us victory over in battle against crazy odds, but God blessed us with land. God blessed us with places to stay. He gave us a home, our earthly home. And he reminds them of all those things. And then Joshua then goes into a section where he then gives them some instructions. You see in verse 4, you can kind of see the allotment of land there. I've allotted you as inheritance for your tribes. He explains, I've been faithful, Joshua says. I've been faithful to lead you into conquest. I've been faithful to allot the lands. He talks about how the Lord has given them possessions. But look at verse 6. After understanding what God has done, God has given you land. I've been faithful to allot the land to you. God has pushed these enemies back. And as a result of what God has done, he says, verse 6, therefore, because of what God's done for you, I want you to consider some things. Number one, keep and do God's command. Look at what the verse says in verse 6. Therefore, be strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from neither to the right or to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you and make mention of the names of their gods or swear by them or serve them or bow down to them. He says to them, first instruction is keep and do God's commands. Keep and do God's commands. It's interesting, as I remind you of this passage, here Joshua is coming to the end of his life, and he's giving them final instructions. The first instruction is to keep and do God's commands. Because of what God's done for you, because of what you've seen, how God has led you over the Jordan into the promised land, he's given you victory over your enemies. He's given you places to stay. He's allotted you land. He fulfilled his promises to you, that he promised you that he would bring you into a promised land, that he would give you a land of milk and honey, that he would give you victory over your enemies, that he would give you a possession to live in. God has fulfilled his promises to you. Therefore, do and keep and do his commands. He reminds them, keep and do God's commands. But what is beautiful about this passage is, as he comes to the end, he says, as you go forward, as I leave, you 12 tribes, you see at the very beginning, there were the 12 tribes. The leaders of every tribe was there. It was officers were there. All the leaders of Israel had gathered together for these last words of Joshua. And his first instruction was to them was what? Keep and do God's commands. Why was that so significant? Because in Deuteronomy 6, God had used the previous leader, Moses, to also give instructions to Israel when they were in the wilderness, before they entered into the promised land, before they got the victory over their enemies, before they received the promised land, Moses gave instructions. And what was the instruction? Well, it's a passage that me and you have heard of much of our lives, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words, I command you, shall be on your heart. He tells them in verse 3, hear, O Israel, be careful to do them and may go with you, that you may multiply greatly. He says in verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God and your sons, and you keep the statutes and commands which I commanded you. In Deuteronomy 6, we've all heard the very first time we hear in all scripture where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He tells Israel, Israel, you're in the wilderness. As you go before that promised land, what? Obey God's commands. So it was this first instruction they heard from Moses. And by the way, it was not only the first instruction he would give to Israel, but it also was the instruction that as Moses was going to the way of the earth in Deuteronomy 31, he says, I'm 120 years old today, and I'm no longer able to go in and out. And he brings Israel together, and he brings Joshua. And what does he command him? Obey God's word. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Be strong and courageous. He says in verse 5 of chapter 31, the Lord will give it over to you, and you shall do according to the whole commandment I command you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear, be in dread. The Lord who goes with you. In Joshua chapter 1, as Moses is now dead, as we saw at the beginning of this study, and God raises up Joshua, you know what God tells Joshua? So listen, God instructs Moses to tell Israel to what? Obey the commands. As Moses is dying, he reminds Joshua and the leaders to obey God's commands. After Moses is dead, God, the Lord, instructs Joshua, Moses' successor, what? To obey God's command. Verse 1, I mean chapter 1, he says in verse 7, only be strong and courageous, be careful to do all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. You see, from the very beginning, as God was preparing Israel for the promised land, he instructs them, listen, I have instructions for you. I have commands for you. Obey them. Keep them. Do them. Don't turn to the left or to the right that you might have good success. Moses then tells Joshua just before he's died, hey, Joshua, this is what I've been doing in these last years as I've been leading Israel. I've been keeping and doing God's commands. Joshua, as you follow me, keep and do God's commands. Now Joshua, as he becomes this new leader, God instructs him. Hey, you remember what Moses tell you? But not only Moses telling you, I'm telling you now, Joshua, keep and do God's commands. Joshua leads the nation of Israel for 20 to 30 years in the promised land, giving them victory over their enemies, giving them lands. And what was at the heart of everything that he did? Keeping and doing God's commands. And now in his final instruction, he goes back to the very foundation. What? Keep and do God's commands. Can I say from you, whether you're a young Christian today or whether you're a Christian who's been a Christian for many years, a mature Christian, the same relates to you at your beginning to the end, from the first to the last. Your instructions are very simple. Keep and do God's commands. You know, as we're getting close to Christmas, we follow these instructions all our life, right? Instructions are a huge part of every part of our life. And I remember one year, the girls got Legos for Christmas. And I remember, you know, they've been wanting these things, and we got them, and it was Christmas morning, and they had all these Legos, and there are like 100 pieces, right? And I remember you get those things out, and if you see them, they're just scattered. Now, on front of that Lego box, there is a picture of what it's supposed to look like. But when it's scattered in all those pieces, it sure does not look like the way what it's supposed to look like, right? Now, I don't know about you. Now, I'm just typical Jonathan, and many times this has gotten me in trouble, but sometimes I think, you know, I don't really need them instructions. I think I can do it myself. I'm a man, and I can build some, at least some Legos. Well, you know what's going to happen, right? As much as I think I may can handle it, or I may can do it, and sure, I may can take a Lego piece, and I can make it fit on top of another one. Absolutely. I have the ability to do that, right? But the likelihood of me taking those Legos in 100 pieces and without following the instructions and making it look the way the designer wanted it to look is probably not going to happen, right? The only way it's going to look the way the designer, the creator, intended it to be was what? For me to follow the instructions. Can I tell you today, in our life, God created you. And he has an intent, and he has a purpose, and he has a design for you. Now, you have the ability, and you may say, you know what, I can make decisions for myself, I can do life, I can follow things on my own, and I can handle it. But can I tell you, if you do not follow God's instructions, you will not look to the design that God created you to be. So it's important for us today, listen, to know that God created you in his image. And he has a design, he has a purpose for you. But you'll never become that purpose until you follow his instructions. You know, as you look at, as we've been reading in our Bible reading plan, I really encourage you to do that. A few weeks ago, we read Daniel. Man, Daniel is just an incredible man of God. In Daniel chapter 9, we see Daniel, he's broken. He's broken over the sin that's in Israel, and as a result, as they have been carried into Babylonian captivity, and they're in Babylon, and Daniel's there, and he's praying to the Lord because his people are hurting, and Israel is broken. And he prays to the Lord in Daniel chapter 9, and he says these words, I prayed to the Lord my God, and I make confession, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps covenant steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Do you hear that? O great and awesome God, who keeps steadfast love with those who keep his commandments. Listen to what he says. We have sinned. I love what Daniel does here. He doesn't say, they've sinned, Israel sinned. No, Daniel says, I'm a part of that. We've sinned and we've done wrong. And we've acted wickedly, listen to this, and rebelled, and a turn aside from your commandments and your rules. Here's the nation of Israel in Daniel's time, who's not living in the promised land, but because of sin has been carried out of the promised land and is living in Babylon, oppressed and captive. And Daniel cries out to that God and says, God, you know where we are today? We've been taken out of that promised land. We're living as captives of another land. And God, the problem all started when we didn't keep and we didn't do. I think D.A. Carson hit it right when he says, that the rising biblical illiteracy in the confessional churches, let alone the culture at large, is the most distressing and threatening symptom among us. You know what one of the biggest problems with us today of keeping and doing God's commands? We don't know it. We don't keep God's word. We don't do God's word. Because the reality is, we're illiterate to God's word. We really don't know it for ourselves. We depend upon a Sunday morning service or maybe a Wednesday night or a podcast or a little devotional we read to understand a little bit about God's word. But we've only read about a fraction of what the whole counsel of God's word says. And so the reason why we don't, listen to me, we don't keep and do God's word is because reality is, listen, we've never really read the instructions. We've just gotten instructions secondhand from what someone else has told us. We've really never read it for ourselves. And the problem is just like Daniel, problem with where we are today, and I say this as a church and as our world today, is we really have become biblically illiterate, and we don't know God's word in order to keep God's word, in order to follow God's word. That's why we at Bethesda encourage you so much. You say, Pastor, it's a lot to read. That's a lot of Bible reading that you have on that Bible reading plan. You know why it's a lot? Because I believe it's important for us to know the whole counsel of God's word. Because if we know it, we'll keep it and we'll obey it. Won't you see, not only does he say in this passage, keep and do God's command. And Joshua says, listen, that's been the key for me throughout my 20 and 30 years. That was the focus for Moses. Now you, as I'm about to go to the way of the earth, keep and do God's commands. Secondly, he says to them, cling to the Lord. Look at the passage of scripture with me. He says, by the way, he in verse 7, he says that you may not mix with these nations. Keep and do God's word so that you may not mix with these nations who remain among you. And he says, they make mention of their gods or swear by their gods or serve their gods or bow down to their gods. So he says to them, keep and do God's commands that you may not what? Worship something else, right? So you might serve it. You may not mention it. You may. So he draws upon that. And then from there, he says what? And I think it's really important that you see this. And this is one of my, I've always loved this passage of scripture. And it's really because of verse 8. He says, but you shall cling to the Lord your God just as you have done to this day. This word cling is a word that is really found a lot from Moses and Joshua. They use it a lot. And Moses uses it in Deuteronomy. Joshua uses it a lot in Joshua. We see it in Deuteronomy 10, 20. Moses tells the people of Israel, you shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. That's the same word there. Hold fast, the same word to cling. And you, by his name you shall swear. Verse 11, he says that also in Deuteronomy 11, 22, and also Deuteronomy 13, 14. The word cling there, or hold fast, is the strongest Hebrew word for like an adhesive verb. It describes something that's stuck together. Naturally, when I think of adhesive, I think of duct tape, right? And you think of back of duct tape, there's a really strong adhesive on the back of that tape, right? That's the idea of how we would describe something that adheres to something, right? Is this word here. It's something that sticks to something. It's described in scripture the very first time in Genesis. In Genesis 22, the Lord describes two things that cling together. You know what it is? It's actually marriage. He says this in Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And so the imagery that the Lord says is a husband, what? Singular, right? Shall leave his father and mother, right? And therefore, he shall singular a wife, and they shall what? Cling together. And the imagery is that they become, they adhere together. They cling to, they get stuck together. And forever they become what? Two singular things become what? One. The scripture even uses that idea, right? He hold fast to his wife and they shall become what? One flesh. The imagery is that holding fast is what makes them one, right? And so the word means a total commitment, a loyal devotion, a deep personal affection. You have this imagery from Joshua. Joshua saying, listen, as I'm about to give you my final instructions, here's some things that I found from Moses that he instructed me that I've been doing, and I think it's important that you do. This is things that the Lord told me when I first started this gig, and I found that it's been very successful over the last 20, 30 years. And so as I go, leaders, keep and do God's word. But listen, cling to the Lord. The imagery is, as there's things in your life that you can stick to, that you could devote yourself to. And he says to them, Stick yourself to the Lord. Become one with the Lord. But here I want you to see in this passage of Scripture, he's giving them also a warning. It's, you can have this idea, if you take a piece of duct tape, right, and you stick it to something, once it's stuck to one thing, you can't just, also on the back side of it, right, there's no adhesive, you can't stick the other side to something, right, unless you got double-sided, I don't know what you're thinking, right? He gives the imagery here that you're either going to cling to one or two things. You can't cling to the Lord and be one with the Lord and be one with something else. And so he uses this idea, and he alludes to it in the first one, only be careful to observe God's commands, right? And obey God's command that you what? Not mix, he gives the ideas, with these nations. But you shall what? In turn, you shall not cling to them, but you should cling to what? The Lord. He goes on further in verse 9, for the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. As for you, no man has been able to stand before you. I want you to look at verse 11. He says, be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. For if you turn back, this is what it says, and cling to the remnant of these nations and remain among them and make marriages with them so that you associate with them and they with you. For know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorn in your eyes until you perish for all the good ground the Lord your God has given you. He says to the people, keep and do God's commands. Secondly, cling to the Lord. But hear me, he says, listen, be careful not to mix with the nations. He uses the imagery that the nations that are among them are, listen, are a trap. They're there. I mean, what do you set a trap for? You set a trap to catch something, right? To lay a hold of something. We have mouse traps at our house. What's the point of a mouse trap? To catch something. These nations that are among them, what? They're a trap. And Israel is tempted. They're either going to cling to the Lord or they're going to cling to the nations. They're going to cling to other gods. They're going to serve other gods. They're going to worship other gods. They're going to follow other gods. So there's this commandment to what? To cling to the Lord. I think it's important for us to understand that. It's in our lives, in our world, it's important for us to cling to the Lord and not other gods. Even if you go to just systematically and just thinking about the theology in Joshua chapter and just the book of Joshua, and you remember that as you come into the land, it was God commanded Joshua and the nations to what? Devote everyone to destruction. So you said, why did they kill everybody in Jericho, right? Why did they kill all the people that were in these different lands? Why? Why was everyone devoted to the destruction? Well, if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, God explained why he devoted all the Canaanites to destruction. One, because of their abominable practices, because they worship other gods, and because they, because of their the sin of those nations and their practices, but also another reason why they were to be devoted to destruction is because in Deuteronomy 7:4 it says, for they will turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you and he would destroy you quickly. So while God was removing all the nations, all the other nations, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and all the other nations that were in the promised land, the reason why God was devoting all of them to destruction is because if they remained, they would be a trap. They would lead his people to serve other gods. So can I encourage you today of Scripture, follow God's instruction. Listen to this. Cling only to the Lord. You know, we really live in a world that wants to We want to have our cake and eat it too, right? We want a relationship with the Lord, but we also want to have our foot in the world. We want kind of a good blend, right? We want to kind of have Jesus, but we also want the things of the world, right? Can I tell you, according to Scripture, it's a trap. It's a trap. If we are not careful and live separate from the world, we will be enslaved by the things of the world. You say, well, Pastor, that just sounds like good preaching talk, just things that people say in church. But it really is Scripture. In Ephesians 5, we've read this just last week. He says, therefore, be imitators of God, beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering for sacrifice to God. But sexual immortality, all impurity, covetousness must not even be named among you as proper of the saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead there be thanksgiving. For you shall be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, who is covetousness, has no inheritance of the kingdom of God, Christ of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, because these things are the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partners with them. See that? Don't mix with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you're the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and is right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Just one example of Scripture where he talks about what? Not mixing with the practices of our world. I ask you to consider that. Can I tell you, like in Revelation chapter 2, if you read those chapters or letters to the churches, and you know God's judgment upon the churches, seven letters have something that God confronts the church with, and there's several churches that have major issues. You know what one of the issues was in Revelation and among the churches? It's churches that's mixed with the world with immorality. I was doing a study this week, and it's amazing that in early first century churches that spirituality was a huge part of every aspect of government, home, just life. Everyone had a cult or worshiped some god in their home. And in the early church time here, there were folks in the church who were worshiping Christ, but also worshiping other gods and worshiping sexuality. And this is in Revelation. He says this in Revelation 2:20, but I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual morality, to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual morality. Behold, I will throw her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw her into great tribulation. Unless they repent of her works, I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches the mind and the heart, and I will give to each according to your works. Hear me. Our world says, listen, you can have Jesus and you can live the way you want to on Monday through Saturday. Yeah, you can do that. That is perfectly okay. Yeah, have a little bit of Jesus, but then have a little bit of your life and your sexual expression. That's big in our world. Your money, your desires, your whatever you want, you can, your world, you can do that. Jesus is a God of love. He loves you. He'll love you just the way you are, just the way you're. And so you don't have to really just solely be committed to the Lord. You can have a little bit of the Lord and a little bit of the world. And Jesus says, don't mix. And he says to the church in Revelation, you church, you've got a woman in the church and she's teaching that it's okay to be sexual immoral and live that way and also live for Jesus. And Jesus saying, you need to get her out of the church. If you don't, I'm going to strike her dead and all those who follow her, because you are not to mix with others. You're not to mix with these other gods or these other forms of worship or these other idols. You know, in our world, I think we look at this and we think, well, we don't have idols. We don't make God. I don't have a wooden God at my house, right? Can I tell you that there are many, many idols in America today, and they may not be gods of wood, but they may be gods of paper. They may be gods of sex today. I believe that's probably the most prevalent idol in our world today is sexuality. And can I tell you today, God commands us to cling only to him. Thirdly, and I want to move quickly here. He says, first, keep and do God's command. Secondly, he says, cling to the Lord. Third, he says, love the Lord your God. It's interesting as Moses starts like his teaching in Deuteronomy 6, he says, hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God. He is one. All right, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Joshua remembers those words. He's followed those words. It's the same words that God instructed him with. You see, as you think about these things, keep and do God's commands, cling to the Lord, all those are what? An overflow of the heart, right? We don't believe in salvation by works, right? We don't think just, okay, if you do different things, you do God command, you're okay, and then if you just cling to the Lord, you're okay. No, it's really from the heart, right? It's from the heart. If we have a right heart, then we'll what? Obey and do God's command. If we have a right heart, we'll cling to the Lord, right? It's all from what? The source of our heart. You say that, we'll say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, you think about Scripture. If you've read, I hope you have, but if you've read 1 Kings and you've read Chronicles and you see the different kings that follow the Lord, what? Well, how was it described them? It described them of their heart, right? They had a heart that, what, heard God's word, and they obeyed. You say that's not so. Well, look at 2 Kings 23 was a king. His name was Josiah. I talked to you about him last week. He was 8 years old when he reigned. And at the end of his life, chapter 23, verse 25, it says, behold, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with what? With all his heart. You see, it's from the heart from which we what? Leads us to obey and do and keep. It's from our heart that we what? We don't want other gods. We only want our God, right? It's from the heart that we what? Love God. That's why Jesus says what? What is it when the guy came to him and says, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus says what? You shall love the Lord your God. He doesn't say, hey, go do all these things. Hey, when's the last time you read through your latest copy of the Ten Commandments, right? He doesn't say that. He says, what? The greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul. Then once you do that, then you'll obey. Then you'll what? Cling. Jesus even says that in Matthew 7 when the Pharisees came and says, oh, why are these people not washing their hands right? He says, not from what they do outside the body, but it's from what comes from within the heart of man comes evil thoughts, what? Sexual morality, theft, murder, right? The reason why you follow and cling after gods, other gods, is it's because it's coming from your heart, right? So therefore, Joshua tells the people of Israel, keep and do God's commands. Cling to the Lord. But above all, love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's kind of a got an engine light that comes out on in your car. Something's going on inside. What do? You plug in, you go to the little mechanic or you go to AutoZone and they have a computer and they plug it into your car and what? They check it and it does a diagnostic on your car that sees what is going on inside the car. All these things, how we obey God's commands, how we cling to the Lord, all reveal to us what really is going on in the heart. And Joshua says, and Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Lastly, I want to close with this. He says, remember God's promises. It's really a climactic part, and I've preached so long that I'm not going to be able to give it probably the due justice that it needs. But you have all this kind of building up, this thanksgiving for Joshua. Man, look at what God has done. And
He really gave us victory. He's given us lands. And so therefore, as I'm about to go the way of the earth, hey, listen. You remember what Moses told us? To keep and do God's commands. You remember what he told me when he was 120 years old? He told me to keep and do God's commands. You know what I've been doing since God told me when he first commissioned me? I've been keeping and doing God's commands. So Israel leaders, keep and do. You know what I've also been doing? There's been some times where we've gone through some battles, and I remember coming up to the walls of Jericho, and it was so big and it was so great, and I thought, Lord, how are we ever going to overcome this enemy? And the Lord told me this crazy thing. He told me to walk around the wall 7 times. You know what? We didn't turn to the left or to the right. We just obeyed God's word. And on that day when we didn't know how we were going to overcome our enemies, we cling to the Lord. And you know, it was keeping and doing God's command. It was clinging to the Lord. But at all costs, because I really love the Lord. And can I encourage you, Israel, love the Lord. And then he says, Israel, finally, I want to remind you of something that I don't want you to ever forget. He says, you remember how God gave his victory over Jericho? You remember how God gave his victory over all of our enemies? You know how God promised long before we even crossed over the Jordan, he told us that there was a land filled of milk and honey. There was this promised land, and it was waiting for us, and that he was going to give it to us. And now 20, 30 years later, God has given us victory. God has given us land. And can I tell you, listen today, not one of God's word and his promises for you have failed. Not one of the things that God said that he would do for you has not gone incomplete. He has fulfilled every word of promise that he has for you. Don't forget that. Don't forget the blessing of God of how he fulfills his promises to you. When you obey his commands, when you keep them, when you cling to him, when you love him, think about what God, how his word is true to his promises. But Israel, just as you have seen that God has been true to his promises to bless you, may that never allow you to forget that he also will fulfill his promises to curse you if you turn away from following his word. He'll curse you if you cling to these words. I mean, these other gods, or you cling to this world. He'll curse you if you go love other gods and you don't love him. So may you remember God's word is true. To bless and to curse. Can I say to you today, his final instructions to you and I today is keep and do God's command. Cling to the Lord. Love the Lord. But remember, he is true to his promises. He will bless you, but he will curse you. There's a story of a man one day, or just imagine with me, or imagine if there was a company, and a man bought the company, and he came to you, you work for him. He says, you know what, I'm going to leave the business to you. I've got some overseas things I need to take care of, and so I'm going to leave the business to you and the other co-workers for you to take care of for these next several years. And so, but while I'm gone, and you manage the company, I'm going to write you from overseas. I'm going to write you emails and different things instructing you of how I want you to run the company and how you want to operate it. So he leaves, and sure enough, he flies away into another country. And sure enough, the next week you get an email and all your coworkers, and he gives you instructions of how you to operate the company. And years go by. One day, the owner of the company walks in or flies into the city, and he pulls into the business, and he notices that weeds are growing up in the flower bed, windows are cracked, reception is asleep at the front door, the loud music is playing in a bunch of offices. He finds men in the back shooting basketball. Business is lost, lost profits, it's about to close. He calls everybody in to the business meeting, and he brings everybody in the company in. He says, I want to know what's happened. He said, did you get my letters? Did you get my emails? Oh, yeah, we got your emails. They were good. They were good emails. Well, they were so good, we even took your emails and we bound them up in the book. And we took that book, and some of them even memorized those emails, and man, there were some really good. We even had a Sunday morning study session where we studied your emails. They were really great emails. Then he would say to you and I, but what did you do with my instructions? No doubt, every one of the employees would maybe say, well, nothing, but we read every one of them. Imagine in the same way, listen, God has left you his instructions. This is the Bible. He's communicated it to us. He sent it to us. And listen, one day he's going to return. And he's going to ask every one of you, what did you do with my instructions? How will you answer? Lord, I kept and did them. Lord, I cling to you, Lord. Lord, I loved you. And Lord, I remembered how your word never has failed me yet. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, I pray today that we would consider, Lord, what your Spirit is speaking to us. Lord, many of us have heard these letters from you, Father. We've heard your words, and sometimes we even come away from a Sunday morning and says, that was a really good letter, God, you left us, or instructions that you gave us. But Lord, we must really, Lord, answer. But what are we going to do with those instructions? Are we going to really give you all of our heart, Lord? Are we really going to cling only to you and let go of some other things? Are we really going to obey what your word says? Lord, I pray there'd be some today that would say, Lord, I've been fooling myself to think that I can cling to you and cling to some other things. Today, Lord, I really need you, Lord. Lord, I really realize today that the things that I'm following is really because I don't love you like I should, Lord. It's not just my actions or the things that I've done that's the problem. It really is my heart, Lord. So, Lord, I pray today that you would change my heart, oh God. That my heart might obey you, God. And with my heart, I might cling to you, Lord. Lord, I pray there'd be those today who will respond to that kind of call from you today, Father. Lord, as we enter this time of invitation, I pray there'd be those who would be willing to just be open to you and respond to you by maybe coming to this altar and praying, or Lord, may lead some to come pray with me. May there be some here today that never accepted you as Lord and Savior, and today is the day that they give, Lord, you their whole heart. Lord, I'd love to talk to them about how they can do that, or I pray that be some today would cry out to you in prayer right where they are and say, oh, Father, will you forgive me of my sins? Lord, I believe that you came and died on a cross for me. And Lord, by faith, I put my trust in you to save me today. Cleanse me, Father. Save me today, Lord. Change my heart today, God. I pray some would pray a simple prayer, something like that, to surrender their life and their heart to you today. Lord, how you lead us to respond now in your name, we pray. Amen.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.